To a song from the Maroon Color Book, 278, One Day. Let us stand together. One Day. With his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwell among men, my example is he. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sin far away, rising he justified, filled forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day. One day we led him up Calvary's mountain, one day they nailed to die on a tree, suffering anguish, despised and rejected, bearing our sins, my Redeemer is he. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified, freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day. The last verse, number 4. One day the trumpet will sound for his coming. One day the skies with his glory will shine. Wonderful day my beloved one's bringing. Glorious day living, if Jesus is mine. Lovingly loved me, and he saved me, buried he carried my sin far away, rising he justified, freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day. Amen. Remain standing for prayer. Father, we thank you for this wonderful afternoon you've given us, that we can assemble together, Lord, and to sing the hymns that glorify your holy name. We thank you, Lord, for that day when Jesus died on the cross. Amen. But Father, we just thank you again for your coming again, that one day, Lord, the heaven will open when the trumpet sung the trumpet, that the dead in Christ will rise, and those who are alive will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. What a glorious day that will be. And Father, we just pray that you bless tonight's service. May it be a glorious time as we sing and praise your holy name and listen to the message. Bless each one who has come. We pray for those who might yet be on the way to bring them safely. Guide us, Lord, for the rest of this evening. And Lord, to you we give the glory, the praise, and thanks. All things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And let us turn back to hymn books, to 155. Same book. Yeah, 155. And tell us, I said, next, I'll change to blue. We will be in the maroon book. 155. 155 will be Wonderful Grace. That's the one you were mentioning.
No, it is.
He said no, that's
okay, let's just try another number. Let us go to 478. It is well. 478. Sing the first, second, and last verses of 478. Okay. When peace like a river attends at my lips, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, Thou hast caused me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul. Satan should but when trial should come, let this blessed assurance control. I am regarded my health's blessed state, and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul. And Lord, yesterday when my feet shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as the scroll, the psalms shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul. Amen. Praise the Lord for these hymns that lifts our spirits. Let us pause at this time for the announcements by Pastor Rice.
Amen. All right, how's everyone doing tonight? All right, a little bit, perhaps a little tired, but here and ready to receive what the Lord has for us tonight. We look forward to hearing some what the Lord is doing in your life. We'd love to hear some things that you're thankful for. I believe we have some pictures tonight as well. It says, "Be still and know that I am God." Does anyone need a bulletin? Raise your hand. We'll be happy to get one to you. Anyone need one? Okay, everyone has one. Just by way of announcements, continue to pray for each one that was mentioned this morning, as there's quite a few that need our prayers, and they're on here. Then also pray for Daniel and Hannah as they leave on Tuesday. So pray for them for safety back to Argentina. Then pray for our other missionaries coming to us, going to Brazil. Just north of them, and the Duarte family, they're coming next week, so Maria is from Brazil, and so it'll be good for Maria to be able to speak in Portuguese with the Duartes, I'm sure, and so we look forward to that. Then, this month we are emphasizing baptism and membership and salvation, so if invite someone to church who needs a good church, and we'd love to have them come. And he already kicked off a great message this morning, Brother Daniel, on the blessings of church membership, the blessings of committing yourself to a local church, to God's church. There's so many blessings, and we're like a family, and it's a wonderful. We saw that. I saw it at lunchtime. Everyone was like a family, and they all wanted to share and care and hug and all those wonderful things. So it's wonderful. All right, this time we'll ask our ushers to come as we give to the Lord this evening of our tithes and offerings to God. And let us also pray for Sister Carol as she goes tomorrow for the third ultrasound for two blood clots. Also pray for Jerry and Mimi as they are selling their house in Virginia. Pray that that sells quickly so that they can get everything finalized up here. And appreciate prayer for the funeral on tomorrow as well. Let us bow together in prayer. Amen. I also want to mention the heart container at the back. You can give a love offering if you didn't give anything this morning. It's still up there for tonight. So please give as the Lord loves to.
Going to be having those pictures now or later?
Jonathan, are the pictures ready? The ones on, is that what you gave the phone for? No, I guess. So no one gave you for pictures or anything? Just for charting? Okay. No, never mind, there's no pictures.
All right, then let us open with testimonies and blessings for the day of the past week. Let's go to Across Books, and I believe Brother Danny can maybe play one of come to one of our songs, Across songs. Are you familiar with the songs? Any songs?
Maybe I know.
I can play them on the guitar.
Okay, you can play them on the guitar. Okay, you can play them on the guitar. Then. Right, very good. Let's try number 20. We just sing the one verse and the chorus, then we will be open for Quran testimonies. Page number 20 in our song books. You should have one before you at the bottom of the chair. I hope it's well known. Everyone know the song, this hymn, this chorus?
What chorus is it again?
Number 20, I travel along a lonesome road. Had all of the time been looking for me. I think we have a different sound to what you're playing, Pastor.
Okay,
all right. Yeah, you play. All right. Let's find.
Travel along a lonesome road, and no one seems to care. The burden on my weary back has bound me to despair. I turn to Jesus, how folks were treating me. And then I heard him say so tenderly. My feet were not so weary,
upon the Calvary's road. The cross became so heavy, I fell beneath the load. Be faithful, weary pilgrim, the more than I can see. Lift the cross and follow, follow me. Amen. Who would like to be first to share up a blessing you had today or throughout the past week? Anyone? All right, if not, let's sing another verse of the cross. Pastor Rice, did you want to have plans with Brother Danny to give any more testimonies? Any other comments?
Maybe he can share like the next steps, you know, that he sees. So we can better pray for you, share the next steps. If the Lord opens the door for missions in Spain, or to the moon, so we can better know how to pray for you. And then if those steps go through, then, you know, what you would need, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's a good time out to have it. The time is moving on. I already have 7:30 on the clock, so.
Okay. Well, I was saying all this. To you, brethren, basically what we are aiming for. We want to take you to a practical level, to not to give importance to the material things and go to the spiritual things. And that's why we try to sell the car there in Argentina so we can move forward. That's sometimes an impediment. But sometimes we have resources, but we have to put them play, you know, just risk them. So we will do that. To our idea is to go with Ezekiel because he's there. We are very attached to our son. Not only that, the first thing he believes from the Lord, because we are very attached to our son, and he is, as you can see, very, very kind. It's not because of my son, but everybody sees he's very kind and loving. So we miss him, really. Our house is empty without him. We need him being around, hugging, kissing. He's always enthusiastic. Jonathan and Rachel could see everything with Ezekiel is entertaining. Everything, you know, just sit down to talk is a good thing with Ezekiel. Everything is nice with him. So that leads us to think maybe we can, we are getting older and be closer to our son. But to see the need around the world is obvious. And in Spain, he contact with a couple of groups, couple of Baptist churches. And one of them, they are looking for a pastor, at least for a time. Even them proposed the thing. I didn't say a thing. They say, well, it would be very interesting if you come here, maybe you can pastor us or what. So we are very open to that, no? So, work for the Lord. A lot of things in our life that we should keep correcting. I think who don't see that is because he didn't understand the gospel. The Lord delivered us because we are sinners, big sinners. No, we are sinners that to the point that deserving hell. And the Lord takes you and says, no, you won't go to hell. You trust in me now. You will be my family, you will be my son, son of God, the Almighty God, and take us. So at least we can do something for the Lord, not that he needs us, I always remember when I was a young father, I had Ezekiel 4 years old, he was very young, and I moved to a 5 years old, the house we have now to sell. I was buying and selling, we have to fix it. And we were fixing on the living room, and I was putting the parties, I call that then, the white things, the holes, and painting. And Ezekiel insists, I want to help. So I paint the whole thing, I leave a little spot for him, and he gets the brush and was painting and the roller, you know, that spot. It was a mess, that spot. So I cleaned the spot, and you know what he was saying later to his mom? we paid the labor. Was convinced of that.
Yeah.
I was saying maybe something like that, not working for the Lord. We, yeah, we, the Lord happily, like a good father, yes, that you did this, and you preached some words, you have some preachings, you went to the boardwalk, you went to the nursing home. What is that compared with the salvation we have in Jesus? So I think whatever we can do is little, so we have to aim for that. So that's our goal. So pray for us that we can, can be faithful to the Lord. And it scares me, to, as I was saying today, to wonder, you know, in my heart, my mind about the things of the Lord, to be, you know, I want to be cautious when I preach, and don't take everything like, when you preach, you take the risk of taking too much of thoughts, because everybody's listening to you, and that's wonderful, and it's not good for your flesh, so you have to be concentrated, not to, evangelically say that, to think outside of the path. So pray for us, brethren. We will keep in touch through technology. We can keep in touch, not like the old days, and sending a letter like the Apostle Paul was. You know, those days, actually, when we were young, there was no internet, so everything. My mom and my dad, they were boyfriend and girlfriend praying for each other by writing letters. Can you imagine? They met each other 3 months, and after that they were writing back and forth, and the families, they met the families, everything, writing letters. I can imagine that long process. Nowadays, so we can be in touch through the internet, and maybe we can share what things we have now. We come to the point when we are like a family. If you don't share, it's evil. When we are listening this morning, if we close to ourselves, that's not to be personal, that's evil. We are called to love each other in a real way, to reach the level of brotherly love for real, which is hard, terrible work, because it goes against our nature, our flesh, but it's what one of the ways to show, to give glory to God. So the Lord can say, those sinners, I change them. And now, not only that, but everybody can see they love each other, being perfect strangers. That's a work that only the Holy Ghost can do. We are afraid sometimes to use the Holy Ghost word because it's like capture for charismatics. No, and the real work of the Holy Ghost is convince us that we are sinners and that we have to keep preaching the gospel to ourselves, not to salvation, but just to sanctification. One of the things that confirmed me to come, because I was afraid, maybe you were afraid of me in the beginning, I was afraid of you guys too, because I don't know, I come to a church, everybody starts shaking, and what I'm into, you know, I don't want that. So I was listening online, Pastor Rice preachings, and he was listening, and he said, because we must confess our sins daily, and remember we are sinners, even we are saved. I said, okay, I know. And I hear that, and I show it to you, she's my witness, yes. Mm-hmm. That's the right gospel. That's the gospel we heard from our parents, you know, the new things that try to change. It is hard. If we preach the other gospel, maybe the church will be full. But can we present to the Lord and say, well, Lord, I give up. I put some rock music, you know, people come more. Oh, Lord, you know, well, I was open to, you know, the charismatics, come, people that come here, and it's more entertaining. What faith we have before the Lord. So may the Lord bless you, brethren, and thank you so much for your love. Now, as I was saying, sorry, I went too far. We are family now, and we have that obligation before the Lord to love each other. We have that obligation. We cannot play around with it. So, when I have news from you in the future, I will be happy to have news of you, not only because it's quite nice, because it is God's command that we preach that level of love once we know each other. So thank you so much. You love us a lot, and we feel that. And so thank you so much. Maybe Hannah want to share something.
Yes.
So I'm going to read Psalm 100.
Psalm 100.
Yeah. Cantad alegres a Dios, habitantes de toda la tierra. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Servid a Jehová con alegría. Venid ante su presencia con regocijo. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Reconoced que Jehová es Dios. Él nos hizo, y no nosotros a nosotros mismos. Pueblo suyo somos, y ovejas de su prado. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Entrad por sus puertas con acción de gracias, por sus atrios con alabanza. Dadle gracias, bendecid su nombre. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Porque Jehová es bueno para siempre. Es su misericordia y su verdad permanece por todas las generaciones. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting.
Amen.
And the truth endures to all generations.
Amen. Thank you.
God bless you and thank you for everything.
Amen. God bless you. All right, Pastor Rice, I think it's your turn to come on in and fill in.
Does anybody want to share what you're thankful for about Brother Daniel and Sister Hannah? Can't take long, but just a minute or two. Yes, Sister Hodge.
I'm thankful for the opportunity that we had to have the Revolos with us. They have really been a blessing and a challenge in our own Christian life.
Amen.
I can't imagine going into a Spanish country not knowing the language and being so willing to share and to do whatever I can to communicate with the people and to share the gospel. But they came and that's exactly what they did. So even though they were probably timid about working and sharing because of the language barrier, nevertheless they came. And that was a great step of faith. That's your age.
Amen.
And that, you know, that they're depending on the Lord to help them, and that should be like a really example to all of us.
Amen.
I'm really thankful for them and the time that they spent, the sacrifice that they made. Can you imagine just dropping everything that you have in your family and going into a country that you don't know anything about? You know, even people that you don't know, if they're of like faith and practice. But, you know, it must have been the Lord that guided them, and we're thankful for the way it worked with Vacation Bible School and all the different things that happened that, you know, enabled them to be here with us. And I know that the Lord will bless them wherever they are. We will be praying for them, and it's just such a blessing to feel the love and warmth of Christians, you know, from another country, knowing that we are of the same spirit.
Amen.
And we just pray and trust that they'll be able to do the ministry that God has for them, whether it's selling their house and moving to Spain or wherever he would lead them. But we'll be praying for them, and we're just so thankful for the opportunity that we've had in meeting them and knowing them.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else want to share? Brother Daniel. Trying to get caught up with everything that's been so far behind, that, you know, I
friendship as well. You know, we spent almost a decade together back then when I was working in the U.S. and now it's been about 12 years that we've been apart. And it's like 12 years never really happened for us. You know? The friendship and the brotherly love that's there has not diminished. It's not changed. Several times while we were discussing certain things, and I haven't had any other friendships as we have amongst him and I and our families. Jonathan and Rachel were very small back then, but they were close to Ezekiel. He of course still remembers them as Boston. Everything that the Lord has been opening up doors for this to happen here during these 6-7 weeks. I mean, like Sister Haas said, it was a big leap of faith from one week to the next to say, hey, there's an opportunity for you to come serve here in the church in Northfield, New Jersey, United States. You want to come? And they said, well, okay, the Lord is opening. And of course, everything that had to come into play, all the little pieces of the puzzle, Hannah's mom over there at the house, there's the healthcare, I mean, everything, the tickets, the visas, the passport, there's so many things that if you try to take the trip on vacation, you can never plan it out and dictate it. But because the Lord was behind it, when he opened the door, and I wouldn't think twice.
Amen.
Have this burden in their heart to work to serve the Lord. And it seems like that's what Spain is the next step, the next part of their process. And it kind of seems impossible from what they're telling me as far as the economy and the way the country is in Argentina to sell the house. But again, if the Lord opens the door, there's no man that can close it. So.
Amen.
Not by the sale of the house, it's going to be by some other method. But he knows what he wants to do with them and where he wants to put them. And just got to put their faith in him and move forward. Of course, like you said, today technology has advanced so much. It's way different. You can do Skype calls and video chats on WhatsApp and all. So they're going to be communicating with us. Basis, and I want to hear from us. I'm sure we want to hear from them as well. So that'll be a great venture to move forward with as well, to partake.
Amen. 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 We're excited. Anyone else? Carol, I know you had your hand up.
Right from the beginning, Daniel and Hannah and I have said that it was amazing how easy it was for us to talk and how close we felt immediately. And of course, that's the blood of Jesus, the bond we have through Christ. And so I just also praise the Lord. I do know what Esther was talking about. I do know what it's like to go to a foreign country and not know anybody and not know the language. And it is very intimidating. But they conquered it. They conquered it all beautifully.
Amen.
And Daniel didn't even get smashed by the games. He even beat the games. The games didn't even get him. He was, that's the only thing he was worried about was the games. But even the games were okay. So I'm very thankful that they were able to be with us this summer or for a couple of months. And as far as what's next, none of us know that, but we do know that God is in control.
Right.
And so I am just thankful, as you've heard me say a gazillion and 10 times, I'm thankful for the power of prayer. And as we pray one for each other, one for them for us and us for them, I know that that God's will be accomplished. So I thank them. I praise the Lord for them, and may God bless you both.
Amen. Amen. All right, let us turn to our Bibles, wonderful testimonies. We could keep going and going and going, and wonderful testimonies and just how God brought us together. Of course, we both did research on each other, so they knew we were of like faith before they came, because they know, number one, Danny wouldn't go to a church that's not of like faith. And we kind of knew that because we know Danny, but it always helps to get second confirmation of that. So he listened to one of my sermons, and we grilled Danny on his doctrine. So Danny personally vowed, he said, listen, he said, if anything, any of his doctrine is not faithful to the Word of God, then I will personally vouch for him, you know, basically to send him back. And of course, as soon as we met them, no problems there. That was wonderful. And we 100% knew that. I knew that just talking with Danny. Not send him back, but of course other arrangements were made, but we knew right away. I said, Danny believes in this guy that much, and he taught him. I said, well, I look at Danny. I said, okay, he's faithful to the Lord. He knows good doctrine, sound doctrine. He learned it from somewhere. And his main teacher was Brother Daniel. So that was very convincing to all of us, and what a blessing. And, of course, he checked us out. So we knew right away we were on the same page. And then, of course, meeting firsthand, we heard that. So that was a blessing. So Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, Hebrews 10, 22, and that's the way it should be. If someone's going to be doing false teaching, whether we're a church that's, you know, in false teaching, and he comes here and he says, oh, this is not, you know, he would have had to leave. If he came in and we were doing the waving of the hands thing, oh, no, we don't have a Sunday night church service. That's too uncomfortable. You know, no one wants to come. So we canceled that many years ago. Wednesday night, oh, no, we don't have prayer meeting anymore. We canceled that years ago. Guess what he would have had to do? He would have had to leave and go somewhere else, you know? So it's just, it's neat that both of us are on the same page with the scriptures. And that's, unfortunately, I would not in good conscience be able to go to a church where that's going on, you know. I'd say, I'm sorry, I visited this time, but I'm not coming back, you know. And that's the way it should be. As Christians, we need to have biblical standards for church, because it is Jesus' church, and he's coming back soon. We want to be in a faithful church that is faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 10, verse 22 to 25, we're going to look at some why and how should we serve the Lord. This morning, Brother Daniel preached on the church, why to commit yourself to being a member. Well, I believe this kind of goes, dovetails in with that message, because it's why and how to serve the Lord in the local church. Let us bow together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to look into your Word. We thank you that you have given us all the doctrines in your Word, that you have told us the whole counsel of God will counsel us through our whole life long and into eternity, and that your Word shall stand forever, and that we will continue to learn more about your Word even into eternity, because that your Word is forever settled in heaven, and that it shall stand forever. Lord, we pray you'd help us to learn it tonight and to grow in it, that we can be better Christians for learning this theology of service. We pray you'd bless each one of us tonight, and bless the new convert, Lord. We thank you that little Daniel is here with us tonight, as he trusted Christ last week. Lord, we thank you so much for that blessing that he is now in your family, Lord. We pray you just bless each one of us tonight for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Hebrews 10:22, actually it started verse 10. Hebrews 10 verse 10 says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, once for all. Okay, why and how should we serve the Lord? Number one, why? Verse 10. Why should we serve the Lord according to verse 10? Okay, we are sanctified. But what did Jesus do for us according to verse 10? He offered himself, so that means he's the sacrifice of Christ. That's why we should serve the Lord. As was mentioned tonight by Brother Daniel and Sister Hannah, that Jesus did everything for us to save us, so why would we not want to serve Him? It's a silly mentality of some Christians today. I'm saved, but, you know, I'll just sit, you know. I don't want to give back to the Lord because, you know, then I won't have anything for myself. Well, wait, did you save yourself?
No.
Then why are you keeping everything for yourself? It's only a very sad way to live. You know, that'd be like the man who has $1 billion and never wants to buy anything. No, I only want to watch my money and hold my money, you know. And he only ever holds his money, and he loves his money. But why don't you use some money to buy what you need in life and buy what something for you? Well, that's silly. Well, that's like the Christian that holds on to himself or herself and says, no, I want to do what I want to do. Well, they're literally all the riches of Christ they're forfeiting by not serving Christ. Then verses 15 and 16. Let's go to verse 15 and 16. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. What's the second reason we should serve the Lord, according to verses 15 and 16? What, as we serve the Lord, who communes with us? The Holy Spirit. The witness of the Holy Spirit. That there is a special relationship that we have with the Holy Spirit when we are serving Him. Okay? When we're not serving the Lord, we are quenching the Holy Spirit in our life. And we're grieving the Holy Spirit. And we feel sad and mopey. You ever felt sad and mopey as a Christian? Well, chances are you probably haven't been in your Bible. You haven't, maybe you haven't had good attitudes lately. You haven't been in prayer. And you haven't been serving the Lord. That's why we get mopey as Christians. Because the Holy Ghost isn't witnessing with us, saying, wow, great job, my child, wonderful. You're serving Jesus. You are putting Jesus first. We don't have that witness when we're not serving the Lord. We feel like something is missing. Okay, then third reason, verse 17. And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Why and how should we serve the Lord according to verse 17? Iniquities. Good, okay. Iniquities. Kids, are you following along? Okay. Every kid, Holly, Lydia, Rachel, you guys following along in your Bible? Okay. Take out your Bible. Okay, so we're looking at reasons why we should serve the Lord. Our sins have been forgiven. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. You know, the world doesn't have any reason to serve the Lord yet. The unsaved world, why? Because they don't know their iniquities have been forgiven yet. You know, so why should they come into church and do our job? They say, what? That's strange. Play the piano for a hymn? That's strange. What's that? That's strange. Count the money in the offering? What? Why do that? You know, the unsaved world doesn't know why to serve the Lord. But we know why we are serving the Lord. We're laying up treasure. We love Jesus. We're glorifying God. And we love it. Because we are all about Him. And the world doesn't know why they're living. You know, the boardwalk and the beach are full of people not knowing where they're going, what they're doing, why they're here. Oh, you know, I just have to get everything I can out of life, and they're all sad. They're wondering, you know, why isn't life holding meaning for me? Well, it's because they don't know they have to serve. They don't know Jesus as Savior yet, so they don't have meaning and purpose for life. So as far as the deep spiritual things and the hole in their heart has not been filled yet. So these we do because we love the Lord, because we know we've been saved from all our sins. Verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Verse 19, why should we serve the Lord? Because we have been given what? We have been given boldness to do what? Okay, what is that called? When we have boldness, go right into God's presence. That's called, starts with the letter A. Access. We have free access to God. That's, again, the unsaved world that's all around, you know, doing partying, doing drugs. You know, Brother Dave Stahl told me about, he went to work this past week, and the guy that does the cleanouts for the apartments in Philadelphia, he said, "Wife just died. I just found her dead. I just found her dead." "What? What are you talking about?" "I just found her dead. And his wife died." And there's the different drugs, you know, when it's addicted to heroin, or it starts with the gateway drug, marijuana. You know, "Oh, marijuana's no big deal. Oh, no, it's just no, let's legalize it." Yeah, legalize it. So that can start the whole process to killing more people. How sad that is. Marijuana is called the gateway drug that gets people into drugs. And then from the marijuana, then they go to the next level. Then they go to the next level. And then eventually they get to heroin. And then once that heroin high is not enough, then they get to the, they say, "Oh, I've got to have a stronger high." And then they go to fentanyl, which is 10 times the potency of heroin. So it'll give you a bigger high. However, it's so dangerous. Once people put the heroin in their body, if they overdose just a little bit, boom, shuts down their heart, shuts down their brain, and they die. And this is what the devil is passing to us. "Oh, no, the marijuana, no, and then you go to the next one. Well, that's what is the devil trying to do? Trying to kill everyone off before they learn about Jesus Christ dying on the cross for their sins. Before they learn the gospel, so he's trying to take them out before they can get saved. And we see it day after day. And then Brother Stahl, he was talking to somebody else, and sure enough, they died of an overdose as well. It's so bad, and it's all over the streets of Philly. It's all over here in Atlantic City. It's all over the place. And so we need to pray for our nation that we turn back to God's standards of righteousness and not to whatever the world's standard is. Okay, number 5, verse 21, it says, "And having an high priest over the house of God." Why should we serve the Lord? Because we have who? We have our high priest. Our high priest, Jesus. He goes before us directly to God, and he carries our burdens right to God. He carries our problems, you know. So when we pray, you're putting your problems right in God's hands. Give them to Jesus. Cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. So why should we serve? Verse 22, "Let us not draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Okay, so how should we serve the Lord? According to verse 22, how should we serve the Lord? Drawing near, okay? How should we serve the Lord? We need to draw near. Draw near to Christ. We need to, if you are not serving God with a happy heart and doing it out of, I have to go to church and serve the Lord today. Oh, I gotta teach those kids again. Oh, I play that piano. Or, oh, I have to count that money. Oh, I have to do something. I have to clean the church. Oh, and if it's with a drudgery heart, you know what that means? It means we haven't been drawing near to Jesus. We haven't been coming close to Him. We haven't been having our devotions. We haven't been spending time with the Lord in prayer. Why? Because we are forgetting. Wait, I want to come close to Jesus. And so we need to draw near with a true heart and full assurance. Whenever we sense that in our Christian life, oh boy, it's starting to get become a drudgery to serve. Well, that means it's time to get back into our Bible. You know, it's time to kick it up into a higher gear. Read more. If you're reading, 10 verses, read 25. Read a whole chapter. Read 2 chapters. Read more, because the Lord will give you that hunger and thirst after you eating and spending more time with Him. Okay, then verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. How should we serve the Lord? Hold fast to Him. We should hold fast to Him, that we're not going to let Him go. We're in the tough times, we're not going to say, oh, I don't want to serve, you know, because, oh, it's getting too hard. No, we need to hold fast to that profession of faith that we made in Christ without wavering. For He is faithful that promised, you know, that Christ saved us maybe many years ago. For me, it was many years ago already. It was about 34 years ago that Christ saved my soul. That's a wonderful thing. But sometimes it can fade in our memory and we can forget about it. But we need to hold fast to our profession of faith. Wait, I remember who I was before I trusted Christ. We have to think back to our testimony before we trusted Christ. Who were we? We were lost. We were sad. We were miserable. Girls, what are you doing? Okay, look up here. Whatever's going on in the lap. Okay, it goes for all the kids. Okay. One of the enemies of preaching. Remember, the preaching is to them that perish foolishness, but to us which are saved, it is the power of God. We that are saved, we do the preaching. Okay, so one of the enemies of preaching is the cell phone, notes, passing notes one to another, little gadgets, trinkets, anything that would distract. That is the enemy of the preaching of the Word of God. Therefore, an enemy of God. So we need to put it away and not be distracted. So we should hold fast to Christ. Then verse 24. Let's read it together. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Okay, so why should we? How should we serve the Lord according to verse 24? It's the first thing. Consider one another. First, we need to consider one another. Okay, that notice here, it doesn't say, consider yourself. Well, do I feel like it? No, it doesn't say that at all. It says the opposite. It says, consider one another. Okay, so if you don't feel like serving God, that means you're not considering one another. You're considering yourself. And that is the enemy of the service of Christ, the enemy of happiness and joy in the Christian life. If all we do every day is spend as soon as school is done, or as soon as we get free time to ourselves, if all you do is just spend time on your tablet or on your phone on what you want to do and what you want to think about and what you want to play with and what you want to do, watch on TV and what you want to, guess what? Your life is going to be sad. You're going to walk around like, how are you doing? Oh, okay. Summer gone. Okay. I don't know. Why? Because you're only thinking about yourself. Okay? We were not made to think about ourselves. We were made to consider one another. Hey, how are you doing today? Hey, why don't you come out? Let's play a game together. Hey, that'll be fun. You know, use your summertime to build bonding with your family members, to build good unity with your brothers and sisters, to do new things that you can do together, and to start it all with reading the Bible together. In our family, what we like to do at night is we gather in one of the bedrooms and we read the Bible together. We read about 5 to 10 verses of the Bible, and we just read that together. Then we take prayer requests. And it's wonderful. It's the highlight of the night. The kids look forward to, oh, let's read the Bible. Okay. And then if I don't say it or mommy doesn't say it, one of the kids say, hey, let's read the Bible. We all look forward to that. Why? Because it's family unity time. It's a time when we can think about God and what He has done for us and then share prayer requests. And it's a highlight of the family. It's a highlight of the day. It's the best time of the day. Why? And you say, I don't have kids. What if you don't have kids? Do it together with your adults. You know, adults need the Word of God just as much as kids need the Word of God. How do you know, Pastor? Because I'm an adult. I need it just as much as the kids do. Okay? That if we are too busy for reading the Bible together as a family, or too busy for reading it together in our home, then guess what? You misprioritize your priority. That Satan is getting the victory. He's getting the victory in attitude and actions. Why? Because we haven't prioritized God first. Okay, so read it together and it develops sweetness in the home. And that will help cover a multitude of sins. That's a one. So let's consider one another. Okay, then in verse 24, what's the second thing? Why we should serve the Lord? To consider one another and to do what? Provoke to what? Provoke to love and good works. That's so important that, you know, when as Christians we can get, you know, we're like a family, a local body of Christ, and at times one of us is going to get discouraged because we're going to have to work too much, or one of us is going to be getting so busy, or perhaps so discouraged because of taking care of someone else, or a problem here, a problem there. Well, that's what the church family's for. They come in and they say, "Wait, why am I the only one with the long jaw? Wait, why am I the only one that seems like that I don't have the joy of the Lord?" What are we doing? We're provoking them to love and good works. We're saying, "Hey, wait, come on back in. Come on back in." The Christian life doesn't have to be sad all the time. The Christian life can be joyful even amidst trials and tribulations. And so we provoke one another to love and to good works, just like we provoke the unsaved Jews to jealousy. You know, that's our job, is to provoke Jewish people who don't know Christ yet to jealousy. Hey, how come you're a Gentile and you seem to have a closer relationship with the Lord than I do? Well, it's because I know Him. I've trusted the Messiah as my Savior, and you need to too. Well, that's the same thing to be at church. When we see someone else in their Christian life doing better than us, then what does that cause us to do? It causes us to think, hey, you know, how do they have the joy of the Lord all the time? What are they doing that I'm not? Oh, they're in their Bible more. Or they're in prayer more. Hey, you know what? They're serving the Lord a little bit more than I am. That's why. And we start connecting the dots and we say, that's what I want. And then we go after it. Okay, so we need to do that. Provoke unto love and to good works. Oh, you know, Dan, it's not fair. Dan's all the time playing the piano. I want to do that too. You know, and so everyone's kind of racing for the piano. Racing to play an instrument. Racing to sing. That's a good thing. When I hear the kids, oh, I want to sing. Who wants to sing? I want to sing. That's a good thing. Competition. Who wants to sing? Wow, that's wonderful. But it shouldn't be for our own, oh, well, so everyone can hear my voice. No, but there should be an excitement about, I want to sing to praise the Lord. I want to use my talents for the Lord. We do it with a true motive of saying, Lord, I want used of you. I want that joy of service. That is going to provoke one another in love and the good works. Then verse 25, last verse here. As we provoke one another to good works, what should we do? Okay. Forsake the assembly. The assembling of ourselves. We shouldn't stay home during church time. That should cause us to be, say, Lord, I'm a little Lord. You know, I'm at home during a church time. Okay, now if you're sick, that's one thing. If you're ill, that's one thing to be home. But if you're perfectly in good health and you decide to be home, that should cause us some fear and trepidation. Why? Because God's command, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Some Christians are going to don't have a healthy fear of God, number one, and don't have a healthy or a proper view of Scripture, number two. And so they say, ah, what does it matter if I go to church? I can skip this week. Well, they're not mature yet. They don't know the Lord. They don't know, as far as they don't know the whole counsel of God and the maturity of doctrine. They are still babies. Okay, so let's not let a baby lead us out of church. You know, how many are going to let faith teach you how to eat? You know, so we give her those little pieces of spaghetti today. And everyone's like, oh, wow, that's really neat. Look at her. She's just grabbing those little pieces of spaghetti. And then she, after a while, started crying and she wanted something else. And so Brother Daniel, he thought quick. He's like, let me try something else. So he brought over a couple of cheeses and a cracker. Broke those up. Over to her high chair and said, oh, wow, Faith, that is so cool how you just, and you shove them in your mouth and you can't always, you know, sometimes you hit your chin and it falls off and sometimes you get the spaghetti on your nose and, you know, I really like how you eat. You know what, I'm going to eat like you from now on. And every one of us wants to sit in a high chair from now on. Yeah, from now on. Everyone wants a high chair and everyone's basic food again. You say, Pastor, I never want that. I like all the foods that were up there. I don't want to just eat those ingredient baby foods. But yet, how many times are we going to let a baby Christian do the same thing? Who doesn't know better, they're very unskillful in the Word, and they will lead Christians right out of church. Don't let a baby Christian take you away from the assembling of ourselves together with the Lord. We need to eat. Some are always going to do it. That's what Jesus is saying here. Some are always going to take the assembly. But that shouldn't be you. You say, well, Pastor, what if I have extremely busy times in my life? Okay, do you want God to help you in those extremely busy times of your life, or do you want to do it on your own in those extremely busy times of your life? Where do you want to be? I don't know about you, but if I'm in an extremely busy time of life, that's when I need the Lord more. Sort out my time and sort out what important priorities. Okay, and so if you give God His time, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, guess what? He will sort out your priorities the rest of the week, and He will order your day so that everything falls right into place. And you can't get everything done, but you get the most important things done. And that's what we need to see. It's a faith principle. Coming to church is a faith principle, just like every other part of the Christian life. So give by faith, if we can come to Jesus by faith for salvation, if we can serve Him by faith, why can we not come to church by faith and say, Lord, I really don't see the time this week how I can come to church all three services, but I see that there's no other way to faithfully serve You and obey You, so I'm going to trust You. And we give Him our time, and then all of a sudden, boom, 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 He stacks our week just. We go from here to there. We do this and that. And He gives us wisdom. He says, go here. Go there. Do this. Do that. Don't do that over here. Don't talk to them over here. They're going to distract you. No, don't go after this over here. That's not what you should be doing. Do this instead. The Lord, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. So if we want to be ordered by the Lord, we need to be faithful. And guess what? Everything will come together as He wants to. And everything will get done. We'll have respect by those that we are with in our families. We will have respect. And we will have, because they see we're putting the Lord first. We may get a little persecution from someone who's unsaved by saying, yo, you're going to church three times a week. Well, I would much rather be in church three times a week than be doing my own thing two of those three times. One of those times, doing my own thing and doing the wrong thing. We need to have a healthy fear of God in our life. Why? Because one day we're going to have to give an account for every week of our life, every year of our life, how we spend every hour of our day. And that's going to be a very fearful thing for all of us, because I'm sure all of us haven't, there's been days that we haven't used wisely. So, but we don't want to make that continue. We don't want to keep drawing that out through the rest of our life. And then one day, well, Lord, I was going to do it faithfully, be in church, but that never happened. No, that's going to to be a sad day at the judgment seat of Christ. Let's make it today to be always consistent. And then God will order the rest of the things that we need in life. You may have to leave right after the service. You may not be able to do extras. But coming to the services at their time is not extras. That is the priority, and that is the reasonable service that God calls us to in Romans chapter 12. We need to do the reasonable service for the Lord, and He will then do the rest. He will bring everything back into place. So not forsaking, and then encouraging one another, exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching, and we can exhort one another. We can say, hey, praise the Lord. Wow, what victories were gained by you obeying the Lord. Wow, great over here. Wow, Lord, the Lord's bringing things together over here. Why? Because you're being faithful to the Lord. We're encouraging one another because we see the Lord is working in our lives. I'd like every head bowed, every eye closed as we close this service. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Perhaps you're here tonight, you say, Pastor Rice, you know, I realize the Lord has done all these things for me. It's the least I can do to be faithful to Him, to come to the services and to serve services, that I want to do that, and because I want the blessings and joy that He wants to give me. If that's you, just slip up your hand quickly, quietly, right there, receive it. You say, Pastor, I want to do that. I want to serve the Lord faithfully and get the joy and blessing as He orders my life according to His plan. If that's you, just slip up your hand quietly, right there, receive it. Amen, 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 amen. Hands over the building, amen. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time tonight to be reminded of these wonderful truths, that the local church is Your local body, the local body of Jesus Christ, that we are members one of another, and that we have the most important job in all the world. Pray You'd help us to remember You first, to always have You at the forefront of our mind, that Your glory and honor would be our first priority every single day. That as we wake up, we'd run to You in Your Word. That we'd run to You in prayer. Because we don't want anything else to get in the way between the relationship of ours and ours. Lord, I pray that we would value that so much. We pray You just order our steps, Lord, as we know that life is busy and life can get hectic and life can get, at times, trials and tribulations. But we want to keep the joy in our life by staying close to You and serving You. Step of the way. We pray You take the revivals from us in safety and guidance. And Lord, we pray that You just bless this time. In His name, amen. Let us turn in our hymn book. We're going to sing So Send I You, and I'm going to ask that we're going to close a little differently and ask Brother Hodge to come up and the men of the church. I don't know if Brother Roy can get up here. Brother Roy, can you come on up with your walker? And we want to send out, and Brother Daniel and Brother Wells, we want to send off the Revolos from our church with our prayers and dedication as they go off to serve the Lord on the mission field. We want them to know that we are behind them 100%, and we will be with them in prayer and the leading of the Lord. So Send I You, 653. Let's all stand together as we sing this song. I'm going to ask all the men of the church to come up at this time. Yes, that's what I mean, right up front. And with the Revolos. No, we don't want you to play this time. We just want you to come and be here at the front, yes. No need to play. We'll do it a cappella or with the... Yes, we'll do it a cappella. We want to gather around. Now, you need to be in the middle so we can all, you know, we want to lay hands on you, not in a bad way, in a good way, to lay hands. And in service, service for the Lord, and how He sees fit to lead and direct and guide you into His service. So let us sing that first verse together. So send I you to labor unrewarded, to serve unpaid, unloved, not unknown, to bear rebuke, to suffer scorn and scoffing. So send I you to toil for me alone. So send I you to bind the bruised and broken, or wandering souls to work, weep to wake, to bear the burden of the world aweary. So send I you to suffer for my sake. So send I you to loneliness and longing, with heart a-hungering for the loved and known, forsaking home and kindred, friend and dear one. So send I you to know my love alone. So send I you to leave your life's ambition, to die to dear desire, self will resign, to labor long and love when men revile you. So send I you to lose your life in mine. And the last. So send I you to hearts made hard by hatred, to eyes made blind because they will not see, to spend the wits, be blood to spend and spare not. So send I you to taste of Calvary. And the last part. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. Amen. Now we'll ask the men to come and lay hands on them. We can pray for them. And we'll go right around to the different men of the church. Wellington, why don't you start? Oh, yes, absolutely. Okay, Paul, you can come up, too. We're having the young men, too.
Dear God, we thank you for this evening. We thank you, Lord, for Adania, Sister Hannah. And we thank you, Lord, for your friendship, your fellowship here with us at Northfield Baptist Church. Father, we pray that your blessings on them as they seek prayer to travel.
Amen.
Coming week, that you be their guide and protect, Lord, as they travel and fly, to take them safely to their destination. Father, we ask you to guide them as they depart, Lord, to have their household and to go out to the field, preach the world. That you will guide them, Lord, to work all difficult situations, to work it all out, Lord, as you only can.
Father, amen.
We pray your blessings upon them and protect them. And thank you again, Lord, for their fellowship, their blessings, and all that they have done here in this area, Northfield Baptist Church and New Jersey area.
Amen.
We give you the glory, we give you the praise, and we thank you.
Amen. Paul, you're next.
Dear Father, good day. Thank you for Miss Hannah and Miss and Mr. Dan, Lord, that they've helped us most of summer, Lord. And bless your time. Bless having safe travels back with us, you know. And the beer will that they would get to stay here and stay with their son, Lord. And so they could serve in the ministry there, Lord. You are the only one that can make
anything
impossible possible. Amen. Amen. Bless them as they travel, Lord. Keep giving safe travel. And if you will, that they'll start a church during Spain, Lord. And amen. Bless the ministries there, Lord. Take this day. Thank you for Mr. Dan and Miss Hannah, Lord, blessing us here with all our summer ministries. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the things we've learned in this church. And if we haven't learned anything else, there's a sure fact that it's true. And that is, our religion is not just a religion, Lord, it's a relationship who has made it possible.
Amen.
We just thank you so much for Dan and Hannah being willing to go forth into the world, not knowing exactly where they're going to turn up or what they're going to, how they're going to deal with the situations they're in. But we ask, Lord, your mighty empowering for them. We know that they have a tremendous amount of ingenuity, a lot of intelligence and learning, and we just ask that you would use each of these things to the max. Than that, Lord, even, we just ask that you would stay especially close to them, since they are on the front lines doing your work, and we just that special reward to your special people who are out there doing your commission. And we just ask that you would continue to bless and supply each and everything that they need. And we just pray that you would continue to allow them to come back here and report to us of the victories that they have made out in the field.
Amen.
And we just pray your mightiest blessing upon them as they go forth. And thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being able to send them out.
Amen.
In Christ's name, we
Danny.
Heavenly Father, we come before you once again, Lord, giving you thanks and praise and glory and honor, Lord, for all the things you have done in our lives, Lord, and in their lives as well, Daniel and Hannah. Lord, all the things that you have provided for them and nourished them and blessed them, Lord, and took care of them and helped them to continue fighting the faith, Lord, and fighting the good fight in keeping with sound doctrine, Lord.
Amen.
So many have fallen along the way, Lord, but you have given them encouragement, you have given them the strength to continue on with the battle, Lord. We ask that you give them good health, that they could continue fighting that faith, Lord, and that they could raise that banner of faithfulness and continue it for many years more, Lord. And many people can see this witness. As I have seen it in the past, as I continue to see it today, Lord, and all of us here can be testimony as well, that they can continue that forward in whatever path you have for them. You could open those doors, Lord, that only you can have open, Lord. And we trust in you, and we ask that you continue to guide them, Lord, and just give them confidence as well, Lord, as they put their lives in your hands and put their faith to practice, Lord. With this big change and moving to another country. Take care of them, Lord. Bless them, guide them, and direct them. And give them wisdom to make all the right decisions that need to be made and to follow all the paths that you would have them follow. But thank you for their time here. We thank you for all the blessings that we've received as a result of being here with us and amongst
Amen.
Us. Thank you for that fellowship, Lord, that love that only you for personality in the country, Lord. Only you can do that, Lord. Your love is amazing and greater than all. We thank you, Lord, for this. And we give you honor and glory, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your great love for us. We thank you for Brother Daniel, Sister Hannah, and just the way that you've just used them in a mighty way here to bless us and to fill in the needs, to fill in the gaps that were sorely needed, Lord. And we thank you that you are assisting them with another couple, Lord. We thank you for that great blessing, Lord, that you're in charge of this church. It's not ours. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's going to keep moving it forward, Lord. We thank you for that great promise and the way that we see it working out. And we pray you just now take them to perhaps restart this church there in Valencia, Spain, if that be the one that you would have them in. We pray that you would just show them clearly, or any other Baptist church there in Spain that needs a pastor, Lord. We pray that you'd help Brother Danny and Brother Ezekiel just to know your will and to just sense your direction 100%. We pray that they would sell the house soon, and Lord, we pray that you just take them there in your time. And we thank you for the tremendous things we've learned from them, and been reminded of serving you. And we thank you for your love, and thank you for Jesus dying on the cross for our sins to make this all possible. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Jonathan, did you want to pray? No, you're good. We'll miss you, brother. Yes.
Me too.
We are sending you out. We want to send you from here.
Thank you for
everything. Amen. Amen. Yes. If anyone else wants a hug, come on up. Yes. It's not just for us.
Yes,
thank
you, Lord. Thank you for everything. So yes.
The Lord be with you, and you keep in touch every day.
Why not? Amen. Don't let the language barrier stop you.
Amen. 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 Hey, good.